The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the greatest show about paranormal stuff in the world.
That's true.
Been working on that slogan.
It's good. It's to the point. It gets the message across we are qualitatively and quantitatively better than every other paranormal show in the world.
And for those of you listening live, tomorrow is voting day. I hope all of you have taken my new political stance. My new political stance is shut up and vote. That's my new political stance.
Okay. It's interesting. It's pithy.
Yeah. Shut up and vote. Because I'm very disturbed by this world. You know, some people are listening to this. By the time you hear it, maybe voting was yesterday because we're on Para X on Wednesdays.
Right.
but I'm very disturbed by this. So everybody's got an opinion. Everybody, man, they're just all like, oh, it needs to be like this and whatever, man. Toasters back in my day and blah, blah, blah. And like this post, if you used to swing on a swing with nails sticking out of it.
Was that a slur for Cylons?
I don't know, man, but here's the deal. Statistically, less than half of the voting age people in this country vote.
That
Yet everybody has these opinions, man. If you don't vote, you just need to shut up. And if you do vote, you need to shut up and just go vote.
Right.
It's like insane. When I read the statistics about the amount of people that vote, I'm just, oh, man, a lot of people complain for not voting.
Now, that is very true.
Yeah.
I'm not really in the shut up and vote camp. I'm more in the scream loudly and go protest and maybe smash someone's car camp.
And vote.
Oh, and also vote, yes.
Right, okay. Well,
do that as well.
Yeah, I feel that voting is probably the most important part.
I thought that was taken as a given, but yes, that's very important.
You know,
as well.
I think dousing your underwear in gasoline and tying it to a stick and storming a Walmart might be great for you, but you should probably also vote.
How did you know my secret?
Actually, that happened to us once when we were younger. We were going camping. We were going camping, and there was like this cave, and we were going to go adventure through the cave, and we couldn't, and we had no light, and so we all took our underwear and tied them around sticks and lit them on fire with lighter fluid and used those to navigate the cave. Yeah. It was very liberating, you know.
Okay. Well, that's definitely a throwback to our cave person roots, solving problems with nothing but our wits and lighter fluid.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara.
That's true.
Hello. How are you doing this week, Kara?
Pretty good.
Nothing exciting?
I have nothing to add to that.
You have nothing to add to that?
I have nothing to add to
that. Is that what makes you doing so good, that nothing has gone on?
Well, you know, what they say, no news is good news. So.
Yeah, but what about good news for people who love bad news?
Now you've confused me.
Oh.
Right. You've lost me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, for me, this is I'm about a week into not smoking any longer.
Oh, okay. And so, I what's consume your kill a lot count
of,
up to?
I consume a lot of nicotine in other fashions, and right. I get grumpy sometimes.
Right. I did notice the nicotine IV.
Yes. Yeah.
Pumping a constant stream of nicotine serum into your veins. So.
Yeah. Well, I have this, like, little pouch thing that the Swedes invented, and apparently it's like
good.
There's, like, no risk of cancer with it.
Wow.
Even the internet says so. So it must be true.
Sometimes that's the best thing you can say for a product.
Snopes. Snopes says it's all true. So,
well, I generally trust Snopes.
So. Do you?
Yeah. No, I do.
I jokingly said that because so many people have been coming down on Snopes here lately.
Right. Well, you know, someone said Snopes is all lies and Snopes fact checked it, so they said it was false. So,
so it must be true, right?
Yeah, it must not be.
Right.
They must always be correct.
Right. Yeah, that's
no, I think they're probably generally pretty reliable. I mean, there's some, there's always going to be questions where it's like, you could rule one way, you could rule another way. But it's like, when you actually read the write-ups, for things, you know, they're generally pretty good about explaining their information. And I've never seen, like, just a wrong fact on Snopes.
Well, the one I was reading about today was very misleading. So the one I was reading about today was about James Doohan, the guy who played Montgomery Scott in Star Trek.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Supposedly got shot 6 times at D-Day to the point where they shot his middle finger off.
Oh.
And so I fact-checked this thing.
Okay, and what did Snopes have to say?
And Snopes said, okay, so it's true, and I look at all these old pictures and scenes from Star Trek. He really does, only he's missing a middle finger, so he's like trying to do the Vulcan hand sign, but it just kind of naturally does it. You know?
Oh, I wonder where they got the idea for that.
Yeah, totally. There it is. But apparently he was shot 6 times by friendly fire. Another Canadian shot him.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's still true, though. Like, that doesn't seem particularly misleading to me.
Yeah.
Friendly fire is a danger on the battlefield.
I guess I was accidentally saying that Snopes was misleading. I just meant that the Scotty meme.
Fact
was
check. Misleading. Snopes misleading. Pants on fire.
But, so there's, like, a bunch of posts about how he's, like, the most awesome red shirt, because, you know, all the red shirts die.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, he's the one red shirt that survived and got his finger shot off. You know, he's still the guy.
That is impressive, though.
And he's still giving it all she can, you know.
Yeah. Even though the engine can't take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, but she still makes it somehow.
Yeah.
You know, through space-time anomalies. And, you know, space-time anomalies really didn't happen all that hardcore until Next Generation.
No, I'm given to understand that what the deal was that early on they wrote a bunch of different versions of each script. Like, they had each writer write a different version of a script for this next week's show, and they figured we'll synthesize the best parts of all of them, and we'll make some sort of super show. But then they ran into, like, time and budget problems, and they just had to use all of the separate scripts that had essentially the same plot. So that's right. Why there's, like, 6 separate episodes where Wesley saves the ship.
I see.
That was supposed to be, like, a one-off thing.
Right.
To demonstrate, you know, okay, this character has some value. Instead, he ended up being this incredibly punchable kid who's always saving the day, improbably.
So they take out the Andorians.
Same thing with the space-time anomalies. You know, you've got, like, 6 times more space-time anomaly plots.
Just replace it with some guy with a hairy horn on his forehead. It's cool. All right, so tonight's guest is Marla Brooks from her podcast, Stirring the Cauldron, and she is a
I'm excited for this.
Rampant witchcraftery. What?
She is witchcraftery?
Yeah.
I think the term is that she's a witch.
She's a witch.
She practices witchcraft.
She does?
Which is awesome.
Yeah, well, I posted on Facebook earlier. I was saying, like, you know, it's weird how some, as a person who doesn't really have a religion, it's weird how some religions are, like, given all this credibility while other ones are sort of mocked on the sidelines. And, like, to me, I don't really view them as all that different.
Well, no, they aren't. The difference is, in general, people seem to think every religion except their own is kind of silly. But if you mock a religion that has a lot of followers, then you're, you know, kind of playing with fire. You might offend someone you know. No one wants that, but if you mock witches, how many witches do you know? Just the guest who's coming on? Well, actually, we probably know a lot more witches than the average person.
Yeah, it's like pirate jokes. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to offend
pirates,
a lot of pirates.
Nobody at the end of the bar is going to be, oh, my daddy was a pirate. Or they might be, oh, I'm the captain now. You know, those are pirates.
Very true.
Somalis. There's Somali pirates.
But, you know, it's kind of fair game to make fun of Somali pirates, I feel like. You know, they're not going to be offended. They'll kill you with machetes, but they're not going to be offended, really. They'll be like, oh, that's funny, and then they'll kill you with machetes.
I know that's not racist, but it might be slightly culturalist to make fun of pirates like that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
All right, Kara, you're going to hell.
Me too.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. When we come back, we got our guest Marla Brooks, and we're going to be talking about witchcraft. Thanks for listening. Boy, come on back. Baby said, dance, magic, dance.
In 9 hours and 23 minutes, you'll be mine.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Join us at Turtle Bay Exploration Park for incredible inventions now through January 4th. Follow in the footsteps of famous inventors like the great Leonardo da Vinci and Archimedes through 50 interactive exhibits, great for all ages. Incredible Inventions is organized by Artisans of Florence and is presented by Five Star Bank and Reading Rancheria with support by Shasta Pathology Associates and Dutch Bros Coffee, the Reznor family. Incredible Inventions is included with park admission and always free for members. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. I thought it would be fun to have you hear from some of our residents what life is like here at River Commons. I asked Jean, Rosalie, Gordon, and Sherry to share their thoughts.
Living here at River Commons is something I never even imagined or dreamed of. It's sort of like being on a vacation where you don't have to worry about doing anything and you have people taking care of you, looking out for you. The food is like being on a cruise ship, as my daughter puts it.
Home. It feels homey to me. Only better. I don't have to cook. I don't have to clean.
Been here 8 years. It's been fantastic. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
This is my home. The parties and the activities are great. I love living here. I wouldn't live anyplace else.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and we're here with our guest, Marla Brooks. Marla, do we have you there with us?
Yep, here I am.
How are you doing this evening?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, not bad, not bad. I'm actually doing really good. I quit smoking a week ago, and now I'm starting to feel like myself again, not quite as grumpy as I was last week.
Congratulations. I did that about 5 years ago.
Yeah. So do you still think about it constantly?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
So I only
have, I just can't figure out why I even thought about it before when I was doing it now.
Right. So I only got 4 years and 51 weeks to go. And so.
You'll feel good in another 2 weeks. You'll see.
Okay, good. So we're really happy to have you on the show. You know, witchcraft is a really interesting topic for me because I don't know if you were listening during the opening segment, but I was saying, like, it's really interesting to me that as a person with no religion, how some religions are just totally accepted and some of them are sort of mocked on the sidelines when, to me, from the outside, I don't see them all that different in one being more credible than the other. You know, I assume you get a lot of pushback from the world about your religion.
Well, a lot of the world doesn't know about, well, they do now that I, you know, since I've had a show, but all my life, most people didn't know about it, but I've been very lucky. I don't get any flack. I've only had one person tell me that I was going to burn in hell and they felt sorry for me.
Yeah. Well, that's
nice. Which is odd in the long run, you know. I think people that I know are very, very accepting of it. And as you know, everybody thinks their own religion is the best. For
right.
The most part, I don't find that in pagan. We don't do that quite as much, but most people do. And it's what you're comfortable with. It's what you know. So you're going to stand up for it no matter what. And a lot of people don't take time to explore other people's religions. Either they don't want to, or they think, you know, if they look at anything as far as witchcraft goes, that they might burn in hell. So they stay away from it.
Right. But, so the, you know, even the belief that you're going to burn in hell means that you have some sort of belief in another religion. You know,
they do,
like,
yeah.
I don't think I'm going to burn in hell. I don't follow Christianity. Therefore, hell is sort of a moot point to me.
Well, yeah, and in paganism, I can't speak for them all, but we basically don't believe in hell or the devil. So, you know, although we're accused of dancing with him and being in cahoots, but I was talking to somebody the other day, a fellow witch, she says, well, I don't know how we can keep getting blamed for that because we don't even believe he exists.
Yeah, and so, plus people haven't really used the word cahoots for like 100 years, so it's like...
That's about how old I am. Yeah.
Know, no, I'm not saying you. I'm saying these people who are accusing witches of being in cahoots with the devil. It's like, what are they, old cowboys or something, you know?
Congress with the beast.
Right, yeah. So here's a question I've always had about paganism is I've always kind of been under the impression that as a person who really enjoys old history and the stuff, that paganism isn't something that we really... I don't know how to say this. It's something that we know enough about that anybody could actually follow it. You know, isn't it just so ancient that, you know, do you get what I'm saying here?
Yeah, no, it is ancient. I mean, it's really ancient. I had a guest on my show last week who was talking about persecution of witches and stuff, and that went back to 1400 B.C.
Wow.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we've been around.
That's
for
like
a long
early
time.
Romans.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking more like, you know, Beltan, or I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but ancient druids and stuff like that. We don't really know what they were up to, do we?
Well, the druids are different than the witches. They're kind of, you know, I mean, we are sort of related, but they're a whole different class. But, I mean, the druids, true druids going back into the Celtic days, way, way back, were like the nobility in a sense. They taught the rich and famous people's kids, and they were the healers and all that. Witches were probably healers as well, and we do follow the old ways. Many of us follow the old ways to this day. But people don't know about it. I mean, I didn't know about it. I mean, I kind of knew I was a witch all my life, but until I got to be maybe 21 and got sort of a head on my shoulders for something, I started to investigate the history and started being able to understand more than just, okay, well, I'm a witch, all right. You know, I mean, you have to know where you've come from to know where you're going.
Okay, well, I definitely want to know that, but just to clear up what I was saying, I guess what I was doing was sort of overgeneralizing by putting too many things into the pocket of paganism. And that makes sense now that you say that. So when you did get started in witchcraft, you know, how do you discover that label? You know, what is it in your life? Because obviously you probably didn't have like a bunch of mentors, you know, some group of witches who were welcoming you in saying this is what you are. You know, how does that transition happen?
Well, not exactly that way, because pagans and witches don't recruit. You know, you don't run into people and say, hey, come join my club, you know, that kind of thing. And there's a great number of witches that are solo practitioners, solitary practitioners. We don't belong to covens. A lot of us find that covens are just like any other organized group. There's fighting for position. Who's the head honcho? You know, who's going to do this? It kind of takes away from what we're doing.
Well, that being the case, how do you decide that a witch is what you are? You know, like when you were younger and you first experienced this, how did you come to the conclusion, oh, I'm a witch?
Well, I had heard down the line in the family that my great-grandmother was a witch.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That was where you sparked the curiosity. And then, you know, without even thinking about it, because they really didn't want me to know, they didn't talk about it in front of me, mm-hmm. because they just didn't think that was, you know, something a kid should get into. But, you know, when I was in grade school, the first book I took out of the library was called The Littlest Witch, and I kept taking it out. I mean, they should have sold me that dog-eared copy after a while.
Yeah.
You know, there's just something that you kind of sense. You know who you are. You know where you're from. You just kind of one day don't decide that you are, but you feel it. It's a spirituality, I think, is a better way to put it than anything else. You feel it, and then you go after it yourself. And, you know, I mean, yes, as I got older and started meeting people, yeah, I've had several mentors, not only in witchcraft, but in the psychic realm and stuff, because this is all metaphysical to me.
Right. So
and it includes a lot of different things.
So in the world of Christianity, there seems to be so many different factions, different types and stuff like that, and they seem to kind of, you know, they get along pretty well, but they got a little little war of words going on with what the beliefs are. Is this the case with witches, especially seeing how there are so many self-practitioners and so many solitary people doing it? Is there many different avenues to this?
Yeah, there are. There's many. I mean, in Wicca alone, there is probably 6 or 7 or 27 different branches of Wicca. You know, you hear Wicca as an umbrella term now. It's not, you know, the religion. Then you have different nationalities. You have Italian Strega witches. You have brujas in Mexico. You know, everybody practices slightly different because they go back into their history and they do what their countries do, what their parents did, what their ancestors did. So there are probably as many different types of witches as there are witches, but we all kind of have a basic foundation in that sense. But there are some that practice, you know, the dark arts, some that are Wiccan that are you know, claiming to be white witches. It's kind of head spinning. You just, you know, it's like anything. You're going to meet somebody and you'll find out that you have like ideas and stuff, and then you get acquainted with somebody.
And I assume that a white witch is maybe a bit of a misnomer or a retronym, basically the implication of going against, like, that other people are bad witches and I'm a good witch.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, nobody in this whole world can say I'm 100% good. You can't, because nobody's perfect. You can't say that you have never made a mistake, that you would never cross a line, that you would never, 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 because it happens. You know, you can have the nicest person in the world, somebody that wouldn't hurt a fly, but if this person had a child that was in danger, you don't think she would go after whoever is trying to harm her child? Yeah.
Right.
You know, to certain degrees, obviously, but everybody has a breaking point and everybody crosses a line at a certain point. So I believed in the thing about harm none, but do as you will, you know, because I don't believe that harm is a good thing. I don't believe in cursing people or throwing things out there just because I think I can.
Why is that so much of the witch's reputation then?
Because that dates back to when Christianity, and really I'm not against any religion, so I'm just going to say that.
No, I get what you're saying. We're talking historically. I get it.
Yeah, but historically when Christianity came into play, the Christians tried to recruit all the pagans because most people were pagan then. I mean, what else were there? There wasn't any other real religion back then far. So they tried to scare people into joining with them. They created the devil. They created, you know, all kinds of things that they started the bad propaganda that witches are evil. They dance with the devil. They eat children. They, you know, ride a broom and swap people out of the air. I don't know, you know, all this stuff. And that stuck. I mean, I got to give them credit. They did a really, really good job of turning the world against witches. So the witches that did not, or the pagans that did not follow and jump into Christianity had to, like, fly really low under the radar. And the burning times, when, you know, thousands and thousands of people got murdered because they were accused. They might not have even been witches.
Well,
and then we go into Salem. So, you know, it goes from, like, way, way back into the 17th century, the 18th century, and it just never leaves because most people don't believe that witches exist, or if they do, they do believe that they're negative. So nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to hear.
Well, nobody I definitely have more to ask you about this. We're coming up on our first break here. You're listening to Marla Brooks here on Radio Wasteland. We're talking about witchcraft. Come on back.
Michael and Tina are lovely people, and they're committed to our community. Those are the people that we want helping shape policy and running our communities.
His honest, down-to-earth, straightforward way of approaching things. He thinks outside the box.
Vote for Michael because he has a heart for people and he wants to see things change. He has the education and knowledge to address our city's financial hardships, and I believe he's going to see those through.
I'm Michael DeQuisto, a candidate for Reading City Council. The biggest issue we face is a dramatic increase in quality of life crimes. One-third of the 10,000 arrests made last year came from only 300 criminals. With 300 more jail beds, we could get them off our streets. This is not a city problem or a county problem. It is a community problem and needs a community solution. If elected, I will use every available resource to give us the safe and prosperous community we deserve.
Vote Michael DeQuisto, paid for by the committee to elect Michael DeQuisto to the Reading City Council 2018.
When you're looking to pet your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
Now, this is Carl Bott. My tuber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at estategranite.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation's annual Turkey Trot is coming. Trot on down to Shasta Regional Medical Center to register, or visit ShastaRegional.com and register online. There's the Diesel Horse Dash for the Little Gobblers, the 2-mile walk fun run for the entire family, and this year's timed race will be a rerouted 4.49 miles due to the trail damage from the car fire. Register by November 16th. Join the largest community run and walk Thanksgiving morning, the Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation Turkey Trot. A portion of this year's event will benefit Sacramento River Trail fire restoration projects.
Sound just like a scream. I don't know what you mean.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Marla Brooks. Marla.
So one thing that I'm curious about, seeing how it kind of is a religion, but like magic, you're saying, like, well, I guess I'll just say this. Does it have deities?
Yeah.
It does have deities. I assume it's polytheistic then.
Most of the time, yes. Some of the time, it's monotheistic. But there are just so many out there that when you find a path, you kind of hard to pick and choose, you know? I mean, do you go the Celtic route? Do you go the Greek route? Do you go, you know, it all depends on the way you practice. But yes, there are deities, and they get called on a lot.
Well, as the science-y guy that I am, you know, I really enjoy a lot of this stuff, but, you know, I definitely come from a healthy skeptic angle, you know, where I mm-hmm. like to hear what people say, you know, but, you know, I can't help but to put it through a science filter. And that would sort of lead me to the belief, like, so in science, you add two chemicals together, you get that reaction. That's what happens every time. But it mm-hmm. seems like in witchcraft, there are so many different ways to do it. The implication on a science level to me would be that if it is happening, that basically the rituals and the beliefs are actually harnessing the person's power and not actually calling on 900 different religious deities. Do you get what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Not enough hours in a day. When we do cast spells and, you know, the thing that people think we do best, the reason that they work is our intention. That plays more into it than anything else. I mean, people worship the deities, people set out offerings for deities, but in spell work particularly, yes, some of the people will call on a deity for a certain type of spell. You know, you want to do something bad, call Kali, you know, Kali Ma. You can do all different things, but for simple spell work, like, you know, what I do basically, and, you know, even in rituals that I've been in, not all of these are deities called upon for that. They're called upon to worship and for favors and, you know, like you would God, for example, but, they're used in all very different ways.
So what type of witch would we consider you to be?
Well, I hate labels, but, you know, everybody needs one, right?
Yeah, well, so, yeah. You got to ballpark it a little.
Yeah, so right. I consider myself a gray witch. A gray witch is kind of, I always say the gray area between black and white is the world of possibilities, and things mm-hmm. happen in, if you don't just, you know, have the blinders on and everything is black and white. A gray witch is basically, my definition of a gray witch, is somebody that does well, that, you know, love and light kind of thing, not tree-hugging. I mean, you know, some people make fun of it and everything, but just being more positive and being more open to things that aren't always down. But, you know, again, like I said before, when there's a line to cross, it could be crossed if you're a gray witch, and not have any qualms about it, because it kind of encompasses both the light and the dark. I mean, it's a duality.
You're like a pragmatic witch.
Yeah, kind
of. It seems like, you know, in order to be a realist, you sort of have to accept, you know, you have to learn to, you know, well, people have to learn to keep their bad in check. But, you know, frankly, we got to learn to keep our good in check, too, or we lose a bit of ourselves. You know?
We have to be both. It's the duality, good and bad, light and dark, you know, yin and yang. I mean, you can't have one without the other. So I think gray is a great meeting place in the middle.
So I think what a lot of people would like to know is, like, what does this look like? You know, if you've seen the movie Witch, you know, that definitely portrays it in one way with a crazy talking evil black goat and the women going out into the woods. If you've
Which
seen...
I assume is 100% accurate. We brought you on here to confirm that.
Well, actually...
Yeah, it's Hollywood. What can I tell you?
Actually, that movie was actually based off of folklore at the time of what people thought witches did. So it's actually fairly accurate to what people thought witches did.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
I assume
far
a lot of people are going to... Right.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I keep my black goat, you know, high, right away from nobody.
Then. Right. Totally. It's really hard in an apartment, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but other people have this view, like four rooms, you know, we have the coven of, you know, at the risk of going outside of PC, topless women, you know, chanting, and mm-hmm. other ones, we have a different view. You know, what does it actually look like when people are doing this?
You know, it's funny because yesterday on my Facebook page, I think it was yesterday, I posted a quote, and it was from Terry Pratchett, who's a very funny British author. And his quote was, most books on witchcraft will tell you that witches work naked. This is because most books on witchcraft were written by men.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, that's about right.
But classic Terry Pratchett.
If you pick up a book, there was a long time ago, Ray Buckland, who brought Wicca to the United States from England back in the 50s. He wrote a book about solitary witches, and it was very picture-laden, and he was talking about how you can make yourself a witch on your own. And in the picture, there was a naked woman standing in front of an altar, you know, inducting herself into the witches, the Hall of Fame, or I don't know what it was. But, yeah, so, I mean, people do practice. You know, people dance around the maypole skyclad. I mean, I love that term, skyclad, because it sounds a lot better than naked.
Yeah.
But I think...
Au naturel.
Yeah, that one's good, too. But I think, honestly, even those who practice skyclad and do that sometimes, I think with age, the older you get, the more conscious you are of your body, and you kind of maybe back away from that a little bit more than you would normally going to this big thing where people are dancing around a bonfire naked. You know, you might.
I mean, even outside of that, you know, is it, you know, a lot of people, it's going to bring to mind images of a altar with a bunch of candles and a beheaded chicken. You know, I mean, what does it really like look like? Or is it really no different than when a person prays? Or, you know,
I think most of us do have altars. I have one set up, and it's small, and it's, you know, it's basically an ancestor altar, because I'm really big on thinking and remembering the ancestors all the time in the old ways. But that altar can change. But there are candles on the altar. There are pictures on the altar. And, yeah, I mean, you know, when you're in church, you pray, you've got candles, and there's an altar, and so it's pretty much
I was raised Catholic, so I'm ready for some pageantry. I get it. I didn't really know what one expected, you know, because, you know, like, do you have a bunch of jars in your house with animal tails in them? I mean, I know that's a ridiculous question, but I mean, seriously, a lot of people are wondering that, you know?
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what they believe. You know, we don't look any different. We don't act any different. We don't really do any different. I mean, you know, spell work and stuff is like praying, you know? You're putting out a wish and hoping it comes back kind of thing, doing, you know, using a little couple of tools or whatever. There are wonderful rituals, like at Beltane and at Samhain and stuff. I went to a really wonderful ritual a couple of years ago at Pagan Day Fest. It was on 9/11, and they did a whole ceremony with something called the Peace Violin, which is a violin that was made by a priest who had no musical aptitude at all and didn't know how to make a violin, but apparently spirit came through to him, and he made this violin, and it's made of pieces of wood from lots and lots of horrible sites like Auschwitz and Hiroshima and things like that. And they put it together and they made that the Peace Violin.
Oh, that's cool.
And he even learned to play it. It was really beautiful. And when it started to play, it was gorgeous. But this was a huge ritual. And I love ritual. I do. They had singing bowls. They had priests and high priestess. We got caged before we got into the circle. I mean, it was lovely. We do have that. Like, it would be like the difference between going to a high mass and a Sunday service.
I see.
You know, most of us do Sundays. High masses happen two or three times a year, but they are quite lovely and quite ritualistic.
Oh, yeah. I remember as a kid, man, I hated Easter because it was like 3 hours sitting in a pew, which is like totally uncomfortable, you know. But, I mean, it is beautiful. It is very opulent. It's beautiful. It's, you know, everything that you want
to
look at.
So we have the same thing. But otherwise, we're just like everybody else. And I really think that most people know witches, but they don't know that they're witches.
Right.
You know?
So how does that work? Is witchcraft something that somebody is born with or that anybody can become?
Anybody can become. Sometimes it's in the family, and sometimes, you know, it comes down the bloodline, and sometimes people just, you know, it's like people who want to change religions. All of a sudden, you know, they were born, you know, Christian, Protestant or something, and now they're Buddhist, you know, because they appreciate the teachings, and it fits better to who they are and what they believe in.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our next break here. When we come back, I'd like to ask you about your podcast. You're listening to Marla Brooks here on Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
She's an evil chick. Say she's the witch. very hard-working person, and he listens to his people.
David Kehoe is one of the most honest public servants that I have ever seen.
As a third-generation U.S. Army veteran, I support Supervisor David Kehoe for re-election because of his unfailing support of our veterans.
The best quality about Dave is that he is so approachable.
You just couldn't ask for a better supervisor than him.
I'm David Kehoe, candidate for Supervisor District 1. I'm firmly committed to a safer community by increasing jail beds and supporting law enforcement. As your supervisor, I have a record of voting for jobs and economic development to help increase revenue for public safety. I will always strive to improve the safety and quality of life for the people of Shasta County. I welcome your support and vote.
Paid for by Kehoe for Shasta County Supervisor 2018.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Holly from Holly Bail Bonds. We've been locally owned and serving our community since 1992. Governor Brown signed a bill to eliminate private bail. SB 10 needs to be stopped. It drew strong opposition from a wide range of groups, including crime victims, law enforcement, civil rights advocates, and public safety leaders. To help protect our community from SB 10, come down to Holly Bail Bonds. We're located at 1737 Plaster Street. Sign our petition to stop the threat to honest citizens and put SB 10 on the ballot in 2020.
A kind of magic, one dream, one soul.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Marla Brooks. We're talking about witchcraft, but now we're going to switch over and talk a little bit about Stirring the Cauldron. That's the name of your podcast, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And it's on our station that we're on together online on the Para X Radio Network.
That's right, on Thursdays at 9 o'clock Eastern.
All right, can you tell us a little bit about what goes on that show? You know, I've always thought so I purposefully sort of picked a show that would, like, cover a ton of topics so that I would never get tied down, you know. How do you dig into that one?
Well, metaphysically, there's a lot of topics that you can get into. And, you know, you can't always play to what you like. You have to play to the audience, too. So there's sometimes, and you know this, you'll talk about a topic because it might not be top 10 on your list, but it'll be the top 10 on somebody else's. So, I mean, we cover everything, I mean, from ghosts to mediums to UFOs to witchcraft and witches, Bigfoot, I mean, everything that you
So people can expect it to be a paranormal show, but from really sort of through the filter of witchcraft, a view of witchcraft.
Not really. I mean, yes, the shows that have to do with witchcraft and the craft, yeah, those definitely. But the other ones, I mean, you know, it's more of a metaphysical thing. I mean, I'm psychic. I don't, you know, walk around with a sign on my head and I stuff like that. But, you know, I understand the metaphysical world. I understand the world of ghosts. I grew up in houses that were always haunted, no matter where I went. The one I'm living in now isn't so unhaunted either. So, you know, it's a wide variety. It's not like a smorgasbord. It's not one particular thing. And you can stir the cauldron for many things. You know, it doesn't have to be double, double boil and trouble. It could be any topic that you wish, because sometimes we all get guests that really do like to stir it up in a good way.
So but outside of witchcraft, what is your favorite topic?
I kind of like, well, the ghosty thing for sure. You know, I mean, not so much investigating. I mean, I wrote 3 books on haunted locations in Hollywood. That was, you know, that you kind of get, okay, enough of that for now. Let's move on to something else.
Right.
But you know, reincarnation is a fantastic subject. This week we're talking to my guest about interdimensional travel. So there are all those things. I love the little mystery things, the things that you can't put your finger on, but boy, did they draw you in, those kind of things.
Right. So I always got to put this in. If you didn't glean this from our conversation, I'm a horror movie fan, and I'm able to reference a lot of them in my talk. So I like scary stuff. And, like, you know, is there anything in doing witchcraft that people should be scared of if they're getting involved or if they're starting on their own? Like you say, there's a lot of solitary witches. Is there anything that they should be scared of?
Well, things can backfire. Spells can backfire. But you also have to understand that when you're doing any type of witchcraft that involves other people, you could be harming other people as well. You have to know how to do it. I mean, this isn't something you pick up a book or go on the Internet and say, okay, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to do a love spell. Ooh, kind of thing. You have to know your craft. And, yeah, so sometimes you do something and it can backfire. You know, I don't think this guy's going to fall on anybody, but you just have to be really careful with what you do no matter what. You know, the thoughts that you put out into the universe, they'll come back and bite you in the butt if they're not, you know.
Well, I guess the thing that really sort of comes to mind for me is, like, with so many entities out there or deities that people are praying to, are there any that are just evil that you need to stay away from?
Well, yeah, I mean, you stay away. The thing that scares me more than the deities and entities, because some of that is so overblown lately. I mean, there's a demon around every corner kind of thing. But you have to be careful. There are people that are really into things like making thought forms and tulpas and things like that. Now, those scare me.
What's a thought form and a tulpa? I don't know what those are.
You can create your own little entity. You know, you create him, you put him, her. You decide what you want. I need a helper for this. So I'm going to get this, you know, I'm going to make this thing look like this, and it's going to have all these powers, and it's going to do my bidding and all this stuff. And it sounds really silly.
Like a spiritual golem or something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And, you know, and it people do that. And that's what scares them. And people say, well, I'm creating, you know, I've got this thought form, and he does this for me, and he does that for me. And I'm like, okay. You know, read up on that a little bit more, because word has it, they'll turn on you too. You know, it's like Frankenstein monster.
Right.
He created it, but, you know, he turned on Dr. Frankenstein. So, yeah. You know, there anything that's negative, you just have to be careful of, no matter what. I mean, if you, you know, say Beetlejuice 3 times, you don't know what happens, or, you know, whatever.
I see. So I read the Screwtape Letters, and there's an interesting foreword in the book where C.S. Lewis is basically saying that the devil is not the antithesis of God, and that he can't do all these evil things, and that, frankly, most evils in this world are caused by men, you know, human beings.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what you're saying with witchcraft, too, is that really most of the things that you need to be fearful of are sort of people and their desires, right?
Yeah. People are more dangerous than just about anything, if you look at it from that standpoint.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Be really careful,
know.
Yeah.
It does. It does. So we're coming up on the end of the show here. So where can our guests find out more about you and find out more if they think maybe they're into witchcraft? You know, where can they find out more?
Oh, I'm easy to find. I'm on Facebook. I'm just Marla Brooks. And my website is marlabrooks.com. So those are the two best places. And on Thursday nights, you can find me over at ParaX.
Yeah, and ParaX is something that we really like, and we love to be there. And frankly, I got a message on Facebook
Everyone
the other day.
Everyone should listen to it all the time, basically.
Yeah. I got a message on Facebook the other day, Kara, coming down on us for not being in the chat room for like 2 weeks.
Oops.
Yeah.
For shame.
For shame, yeah. But, you know, life goes on. So yeah. I promised we'd be there this week. So
oh, God.
We shall.
Okay. I guess I will.
Well, Marla, we really enjoyed having you on the show. Witchcraft is really something that I can really sort of, you know, probably pick your brain about again. So we'd love to have you on the show again sometime.
Anytime.
That is great. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've been listening to Marla Brooks here on Radio Wasteland. Thanks for checking us out.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.